Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Tuesday afternoon here in Nashville. And we always enjoy our conversations with our next guest, Peter Burns. His work can be found on SEC Network and does a really, really good job. And we always like talking with Peter, and he is now on the line with us. Peter, how you doing?
Damn, today's Tuesday? I didn't even know that, boys. I appreciate it. I feel like it is one of those days where you have to kind of check your phone every other day. I mean, these last 3 months, man, it's like we're living in a 30 for 30 that's being written, and a new episode comes out every stinking day right now. It's crazy.
You are so right about that. I'll tell you what, the days have been confusing. They're certainly in this category, but, Peter, I mean, I truly have to look at my phone for the date. Like, I have no – I'm pretty good about maybe knowing what month we're in, but, like, the right. actual date – I've got no chance unless I look at my phone. No chance.
Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, traditionally in sports, I mean, especially for us at SEC Network, we're on this kind of Groundhog Day as far as when our calendar is, right? Like, I always look at it going, right now I would be in Omaha for the College World Series, and a couple of weeks ago I would have been in Hoover for, you know, SEC Baseball Championships, or I would have been in Destin for SEC meetings. And when all of that stuff gets wiped out, you sit around and go, what are we doing today? And now, at least, we traditionally would look forward to SEC media days, and, you know, we will have that, but that's going to look a whole lot different than it ever has before because of this as well, guys.
I know. I mean, and we're supposed to host it here in Nashville next year, and, I mean, who knows what? Hopefully it'll be fine, but, I mean, truly, who knows how this is all going to play out. I heard you do an interview recently with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, and he's been on the show many times. He's been very good about being accessible over the years, and that's appreciative to have a guy, a leader of a big, powerful conference like the SEC that makes himself, you know, accessible and out there. And I thought you did a really good job with his interview, and he's just so thought-provoking, right? I mean, you can just tell he listens to your questions. He thinks about it with really good answers. He's a smart guy who has a lot of interest. And you hit him with some topics that, you know, like, for example, the Mississippi State flag, which has become now a really big story, and just how he is willing to kind of go down the road and give you a little background, give you a little history, and answer your question.
Yeah, and again, I do appreciate that of Commissioner Sankey, but, you know, it was one of those deals where when, you know, they made the announcement from the SEC Twitter page about, hey, you know, that they would look at precluding the state of Mississippi if they didn't change the state flag, you know, I tracked them down. I said, hey, you got to come on. Like, I have to talk to you about this because this is something you can't just put out in a tweet. You have to kind of give the rationale behind it. You know, and I appreciate you listening to the interview. And it was clear that it was something that he felt like they should have done prior. They should have done it before. And that while they couldn't change the timeline of it, it was important for them to do that and at least put a little bit more pressure on the state to change the flag. Now, what's interesting, guys, is that it wasn't until the NCAA came out the following day and said, we're taking it one step further. You're not going to be able to host baseball, you know, regionals and super regionals and basketball. You know, Mississippi State has had a great women's basketball squad. They wouldn't be able to host first round games, to where that kind of amplified it a little bit more. But going one step further, it wasn't until Kylan Hill, the Mississippi State running back yesterday, put out his tweet saying, I'm not sure if I even want to play for the state unless the flag is changed, that really may put an onus on the state government.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. That's exactly, you led me right to the follow-up. I mean, how much do you think, how powerful is Kylan Hill's comments going to be for this movement, you know, to change the state's flag?
It's huge for this reason. It's huge for the timing of it. What I mean by that is that, you know, even with the SEC saying that, you know, hey, they wouldn't have SEC championships, it wasn't like state of Mississippi was getting the SEC football championship, or, you know, baseball was always done in Hoover, Alabama, or even, you know, basketball, there wasn't going to be a basketball tournament there. But the NCAA, at least they said, hey, you're not going to be able to host, but all of those events were normally traditionally hosted in March or April of next year. So you could have this upcoming election cycle, you know, in November, and you could say, all right, well, we'll deal with the flag after the election. Kylan Hill saying, I'm not playing football right now. And I've heard from people at Mississippi State, at Ole Miss, and people over at other Mississippi schools that not affiliated with the SEC going, there is some momentum that Kylan's not going to be the only person to say that. And the difference is now Mississippi State legislature needs to address this ASAP before college football season starts. And, you know, the NCAA didn't make them do that because they would have to just – they could kick the can down until March. Now you're not going to be able to just wait until after the election to handle the deal. So Kylan Hill's the most important tweet really maybe of this entire offseason right now.
Yeah, it's interesting for people to shake their head and say, oh, it'll never happen. We just had Jamie Little on last hour, who is NASCAR on Fox, and she was right in the middle of all their coverage from Talladega this weekend and yesterday, and of course the Bubba Wallace story and the movement yesterday before the race. And you know, there's a lot of people, by the way, the Confederate flag issue involving NASCAR has been out there for a long time, and there's been a lot of people that said that'll never go away, you'll never do that, and NASCAR has, they have stepped up. So for people who think that, you know, they roll their eyes or shake their heads, oh, Mississippi's not going to change their state flag, I would say you might want to look around. Some things are changing around us. Be surprised.
Well, keep in mind, South Carolina used to fly, the Confederate flag, the state capital, and then Governor Nikki Haley, a Republican governor a couple of years ago after the shooting in Charleston, said enough's enough, we're not flying it anymore. So that changed. I mean, NASCAR, boom, look, they snapped their fingers, they changed. And yet Mississippi does not want to. And now they could potentially look at not only losing SEC hosting opportunities, losing any type of NCAA hosting opportunities. And you know that if all of a sudden a bunch of student athletes says, I don't feel comfortable in this state right now, I want to transfer. You know, after the NCAA took their stance, that they would grant every single one of these athletes immediate eligibility elsewhere. But what happens if all of a sudden you've got 60 athletes from these public universities in the state of Mississippi that don't want to play because of the state flag? Is the state of Mississippi willing to do that and live in the dark ages? It's sad to say that they might, and that's scary.
That is a great point. I mean, if you really want to nip this in the bud, in my opinion, have the NCAA come out and say, you know what, if players aren't comfortable playing there, that state, you can walk. You can go wherever you want. And oh, by the way, what kind of message would that send to recruiting classes down the road about wanting to go play in the state of Mississippi? That could also not only affect them now, but moving forward. I think, well, once again, that's pressure being applied.
The crazy part about it is there's 8 public universities in the state of Mississippi. Not a single one of those 8 fly the state flag on campus. So, I mean, So the question is that if you're that embarrassed of what the flag has become, that you're not willing to have it fly on your public universities, why not just change it? It seems like a no-brainer. And I've talked to people at Mississippi State and Ole Miss, and people have said, why the hell hasn't this been changed already? They're in favor of it. The athletes are in favor of it. The university presidents are in favor of it. It's just you have politicians that are afraid going into an election cycle that their constituents will look down upon them for making this change. And that's kind of scary, frankly, in 2020.
No doubt. Peter Burns, SEC Network, on the line with us. We're seeing a real shift in power for student athletes. And we're seeing stories come out that, I don't think I've seen in my lifetime, because we've always talked about the coaches have all the cards stacked in their favor, and these student athletes really don't have any power, and now they're kind of taking that power and along the lines of some of the things we're talking about. I mean, to see what happened at Florida State, to see what happened at Clemson, to see what happened at Oklahoma State, what we've just talked about with Kylan Hill, they're speaking out. Liberty just had 2 players to say they want to transfer over racial insensitivity. And so I don't think this is another element that's interesting, Peter, where these players are sitting there, they're calling out their head coaches, which is pretty interesting.
Well, they've always had this power. They have just never understood collectively as a group that they had this power. And I said it a couple of months ago over on my ESPN radio show on Sundays, is that, and I thought, and this is before really the pandemic had started, I was talking about name, image, and likeness. And I said, hey, if all of a sudden Justin Fields, you know, quarterback at Ohio State, and Trevor Lawrence, quarterback at Clemson, said, you know what, we're not taking to the field this year unless we get our name, image, and likeness, you'd probably have a bunch of other players go, yeah, I agree, absolutely. And you would have a collective group of saying, we're not playing college football unless we get our name, image, and likeness rights. Well, naturally, it's going to happen. This, you know, they will get these rights within a year. But now we're seeing these players understand it, whether it be the pandemic or it has something to do with racial inequality and social injustice. They're understanding that they have a lot more power than they ever even never even knew at their fingertips.
Peter Burns is with us. And Peter, you appreciate college baseball more than some. I just envision Ole Miss and Mississippi State, places that have amazing baseball atmospheres and home field advantages, for that matter, not being able to host a regional or a super regional, that's got impact right there.
Well, it's not fair to Mike Bianco and Chris Lemonis and all of the coaches that have put together an unbelievable team. And Duty Noble's a great home field advantage for Mississippi State. Same thing with Swayze Field and even the Hump. Even though Vic Schaefer now is coaching women's hoops in Texas, is that, you know, not be able to host. It's not only for the student athletes that I feel bad for, but also think about the economy. I mean, think about, you know, not being able to get 13,000 in your stadium 3 days in a row simply because, you know, you had a politician that didn't have a backbone to make the change that needed to be changed. So, again, the dollars and cents of it makes perfect sense. Now, listening to student athletes, that makes perfect sense. And, I mean, listen, again, when you can look at NASCAR, a sport that traditionally I feel has sometimes been behind the times on things, and see how progressive they've gotten, and boom, they snap their fingers, and what a great moment that was to watch Bubba Wallace in the race yesterday at Talladega. If all of a sudden you can flip the switch like that, why can't you do it for other common sense causes?
Well, I think Darren touched on this earlier, but I think also the collective thought of recruits and African-American athletes on those campuses, if they collectively put it out there, I mean, think about the strength that they have to get a state legislation to change their thinking, right? Because people like to win, right? Fans of those schools like to be successful, and that carries a lot of weight. I'm really curious to see how quickly that might be able to change how people think. If they can continue to band together, if there are more Kylan Hills out there that come forward and join him, right? I would have to think that this could be addressed pretty quick.
And it's not even the Kylan Hill situation, but you're right. If all of a sudden some players transfer, don't think in the world of recruiting that other coaches or other recruiting coordinators across the country will be like, are you sure? If you're picking between us and a Mississippi school, are you sure you want to do that? I mean, you see what's going on. The state doesn't even want to change the flag on your, you know, And I'm not sure if that's the right fit for you. And the same can be said too. I mean, there's a lot of people that questioned Mike Gundy and his apologies. And like, well, is Mike Gundy apologizing for what happened, or is he doing that because he knows that affects the recruiting and that all of a sudden, you know, somebody might say, well, you need to go to Oklahoma instead of Oklahoma State, and that's why you need to apologize. And yeah, at the end of the day, I think we're all becoming a little bit more aware. And I hate the word woke. I mean, woke is such a you see all these fraudsters that use this. Oh, you're so woke and whatnot. No, that's just educating yourself a little bit more to things you're not having experience and opening your mind a little bit more. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to ever apologize for trying to be smarter about a topic that I didn't know a whole heck of a lot about.
Well, I can remember being a sideline reporter for Vanderbilt going down to Ole Miss during a time where Tommy Tuberville made a strong case, and I think he won the case, of, hey, we're not bringing the Confederate flags into the stadium. They had a compromise where they had an altered flag that looked sort of similar, but he was smart enough to realize. He had just been down there. They had some NCAA sanctions. He was trying to build it up. He did a very good job there. And he fought that battle, right? And I think part of it was motivated by he wanted to win.
Well, and again, and I think that's collectively when I talk to people in the state of Mississippi, from whether they're at Ole Miss or Southern Miss or Mississippi State, whether they're old or young, whether they're in sports or not, they all look at it and go, listen, are we better off as a state? And are we better off as an athletic department, as a team, still having this outdated flag, or are we better off making a change? And, you know, and it's not even my opinion. When I talk to them unequivocally, everyone has said, well, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Can we just hurry up and get it done? So, and if they don't get it done, at least Kylan Hill's tweet now has put some pressure on the politicians of that state. And now it's even more of a blueprint that student athletes understand that, hey, collectively as a group, they have a lot more power than they ever thought that they had in previous times.
Peter, before we let you go, what is your sense of how collectively we're moving ahead for the football season? How confident are you right now? I know in my mind I can go different directions on different days depending on what you read in terms of the cases and everything. I know they're trying really hard, but what's your vision of what do you think it'll look like when the season gets going here?
It's crazy. It's like a roller coaster. You know, some days you feel like you're on the way up and everything's good, and then all of a sudden you see more news and it goes down. It's kind of like now we're in the corkscrew area where we're just going around and around and we don't know where the hell we're at. I mean, we're seeing a lot more explosion of positive tests, but are we seeing more deaths, more hospitalizations? They're trying to figure that out. And the one thing, and I've changed my mind on this. At first, I thought, well, we might be coming back a little too early, but I realized the more and more I talked to people across not just the SEC but college football, it was a good way that you could find out all the positives. You can find out more of how these explosion of cases right now, as opposed to had you try to bring everybody back at the same time in mid-July and not understand the roadmap on how to deal with it. And there is no perfect answer at this point because the changes, I mean, Commissioner Sankey said they've got 20 different scenarios for the season right now, and that changes day to day. So, you know, I still think that we will have college football in the fall. I would like to say that we have fans in the stands, but that seems to be decreasing every single day, or at least the amount of people every single day. And Dr. Fauci came out today and testified saying that it's not a matter of if they'll have a vaccine. They think it's a matter of when, and it'll either be later this year or first part of next year, which in my mind all of a sudden thinks, hey, is a last case scenario possibly having some type of football in the spring? I mean, it changes day to day. I wish I had an answer for it, but again, it seems like every day I wake up, what day is it, and what's our news for today?
I know my stomach when I was younger could handle the corkscrew rides, but I can't do those corkscrew roller coasters anymore. Can't do it. By the way, really nice on the way out, a really nice gesture by the SEC to honoring Edward Ashoff with the internship for communications. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I'll leave you with this, too. If you get a chance, go to the SEC Networks page. The last feature that our buddy Ed ever put together before he passed last year was a great feature on Clyde Edwards-Helaire and, you know, why he has a hyphenated last name. And it's just a really strong, strong part of storytelling and just kind of who exactly Ed Ashoff was. And Ed's one of those voices I would have loved to have had weighing in on this because he's one of the smartest guys I ever met. So if you get a chance, go appreciate Ed's work, and I'll leave you with that. So
good end to the interview. Peter, really appreciate your time as always. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Indeed. Talk to y'all soon.
All right, Peter Burns, SEC Network and ESPN. We always enjoy our chats with him. When we come back, we've got an announcement to make, and it involves an SEC school. What could we be talking about? We'll tell you about it on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.